graph.
Yes.
That says the world we see reflects our own internal frame of reference. It's in the preface.
Okay.
Roman numeral 11.
Okay.
It's the very front before we even get started with the book. And I'm going to read through that paragraph. And so let's just take a minute to allow ourselves to take a breath and relax. We just came out of the external dream, the lab. And when we get into the Course in Miracles, we know that we're going into another state of mind. So when you study the Course in Miracles, you're practicing the holy instant. And the Course in Miracles defines the holy instant as another state of mind where the answer is. So the answer is not in the frantic, fearful state of mind that the ego represents. The answer is never in the frantic part of the mind that's freaked out. The answer is not in the frantic part of the mind that gets freaked out and worried. The answer is in another state of mind. And so today we're asking for Spirit to open us up to the other state of mind for at least an hour. And one of the easiest ways to get there is that the more that you are concerned about something or obsessed with something or being out of the present because you're thinking about the past or the future, is to take a breath. Taking deep breaths will put you into the other state of mind faster than anything that you can try to tell yourself, even though you want to tell yourself the truth. Most people don't know that the best way to get out of that frantic, chaotic, conflict filled drama state is to just sit still for a minute and just take a few deep breaths. We hear about that all the time, but that truly is the way that you switch states of mind. But most people won't do it because when they're upset, their ego is in charge. The old learning is in charge. And so they just run around frantically trying to figure out what to do instead of just sitting still for a moment. All right. I love how these classes are primarily for me. The world we see merely reflects our own internal frame of reference. The world we see reflects our own internal frame of reference. The dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions in our minds. Projection makes perception. That means we look inside first, decide the kind of world we want to see, and then project that world outside, making it the truth as we see the truth. We look inside first, decide what the kind of world we want to see, and then we project that world that we want to see outside, making it the truth as we see it. We make it true by our interpretations of what it is we are seeing. We make it true by our interpretations of what it is we are seeing, which means if we are using our perception to justify our mistakes, our anger, our impulses to attack, our lack of love in whatever form it may take, then we see a world of evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair. All of this, this world we see of evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair, we must learn to forgive, not because we're being good, not because we're being charitable, but because what we are seeing is not true. What does that mean? Well, we have distorted the world by our twisted defenses, and therefore we are seeing what is not there. You could always do that with the Course. What does that mean? Well, it means as we learn to recognize our perceptual errors, as we learn to recognize our perceptual errors, as we learn to recognize when we are interpreting things incorrectly, we also learn to look past our perceptual errors or forgive. So to forgive means to learn to look past your own perceptual errors. At the same time, we are forgiving ourselves. which means we're looking past our distorted self-concepts to the self that God created in us and as us. That whole paragraph covered the whole course. You could take that one paragraph, and that's everything. You know, the world that you see reflects your own internal frame of reference. We look inside first, decide what we want to see, and then we make it true. We make it true by our interpretations of it. If we are trying to justify our erroneous interpretations, then we see stuff that upset us. To forgive merely means to learn how to look past the way that you're looking at things that's upsetting you to the self that you are, that God created. See, that's the whole journey. And everybody's always in one stage of that, to me, all the time. Like right now, whatever you're upset about, if there's anything that you're worried about or upset about, then he's saying that that's coming from your interpretation of what you're seeing. And how you can tell when you're not seeing correctly, he says, well, if you can tell because you see a lack of love, you see destruction, you feel envy, you feel despair. Well, if you're feeling despair, then he says that you're misinterpreting what's going on. And so forgiveness is learning how to look past your own incorrect interpretations of what's going on to the truth of who you were created and how you were created by God. We get stuck at the incorrect perception because it becomes the world we see. And when it becomes the world we see, well, we naturally think it's real. And so we get caught up in the effect of our perception and forget to recognize, if I feel despair, if I feel upset, then I am interpreting this situation incorrectly. And that's what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means I'm going to learn how to look past the incorrect interpretations that I'm having right now that's upsetting me to the truth of who I am as God created me. And that's all the course is doing. It's teaching us, it's giving us new interpretations because it's our interpretation that's creating the upset in the fearful world. So if I'm looking at you in such a way that's upsetting me, what I need is another way to look at you that won't upset me. If I'm looking at a financial situation and it's upsetting me, what I need is another way to look at that so that it doesn't upset me. We think that the way to get rid of the financial situation, the defense is that that's what we're upset, is, you know, give me some money. And then everything will be all right. Okay. And the course is saying, no, what you really want is the correct interpretation of money, because it's your perception of money that's causing your money problem in the first place. If you had the correct perception of it, you wouldn't have a money problem. If you had the correct perception of it, you wouldn't have a relationship problem. So it teaches that instead of always going to the effect level, please give me the physical change. He says, ask for the correct interpretation of what's going on first. For instance, if I knew that let's say I'm running, there's somewhere I want to be at 12 o'clock and I'm running late, and I'm really upset with that. But had I been on time, I would have been at that intersection at the exact same time that a person ran the red light and killed me. Then I would have been glad I was running late. You see what I'm saying? Because immediately I would change my interpretation of it. I would go, oh man, that was a blessing I was running late. So you still were running late, but all of a sudden you're not upset about it. All of a sudden you're saying, thank you God that I was running late. So it wasn't ever the running late that was upsetting me. It was the way I was interpreting and beating myself up about running late. But actually, I didn't know that it was for my own best interest to be running late. That saved my life. Now, suppose you could apply that to every single thing in your life. That you may have your preferences for how you think your life should be right now, but suppose, unbeknownst to you, everything that was happening to you was actually saving your life, but you didn't even know it. Yet the fact that that person didn't give you the phone number that you wanted was the worst relationship you could have ever had. Or that job that you really wanted more than any job in the world that didn't come through provided an opening for you to get a job that's something you really wanted. You see what I'm saying? It's like the course is saying, when you begin to trust and you begin to see things correctly, you'll say to yourself, you know what? This is something that I would prefer to happen, but I don't really recognize my own best interest in this situation. I don't really know that that's the best thing for me. So I'm going to admit I don't know my own best interest, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to decide for me this is my preference, but I'm not going to make this decision by myself. I don't really know. So I realized that that's what most people are upset about. They decide what they want to see, right? Just like you said, I decide what I want to see. Then I try to project that out in the world, and I try to make it true. And if it doesn't turn out the way I want to, then I attack myself or attack somebody else for what's not going right. Well, okay, forgiveness is me looking past that whole process and realizing that I'm the one that's giving myself the perceptions and interpretations that it's really making me upset. Is that making sense to everybody? So intellectually, we can see that. Emotionally, when something comes up and we do our reaction, it's a whole different case, isn't it? Like, we can sit up here very logically and say, oh, I see that, you know. But then the minute you go out here and they're 15 minutes late with the order that you placed at the restaurant, right, then all of a sudden, you know, what do? We use a perception to justify our mistake. So that means I'm going to blame you for what's going on. I'm making a perception that justifies my mistake. What do you mean? What's my mistake? My mistake is the way I'm interpreting them being late with my plate. That's my mistake. I am not interpreting that correctly, or I wouldn't be upset about it. So the course, to me, is almost like there's the situation or the physical situation. Here I am. And then between the physical situation and me is my interpretation of it, okay? So there's the situation, there's me, and then it's the way I'm looking at it. The course is not concerned with this level, which is why sometimes it befuddles people, I think, when they try to study it. Because most people come into any situation looking for a physical shift, because they think if the physical thing that they want happens, then they'll be happy. The course is saying, it's not that physical thing that's making you unhappy. It's your interpretation of that. It's like a person is not in a relationship. The reason why they're saying they're lonely is that's the interpretation that they're giving themselves. There's some people that are ecstatic not being in a relationship. Okay, their interpretation of, wow, my life is a lot simpler without trying to work through that every day. Okay, so but then the person who thinks that they have to have a person to be happy, then they're miserable. So what's the difference between the two people, the way they're looking at it? So the Course in Miracles definition of forgiveness means to look past your interpretation of the situation that's making you feel separate and afraid.
Mm-hmm. That's so helpful for me because, you know, I think I know enough about manifesting.
Yeah.
So when it's not there, I judge myself.
Right.
It's wrong. I immediately go into, this is wrong.
Right.
So let's analyze it.
There you go.
You know, just thinking da-da-da-da-da. So to say, whatever's happening, this is in my own best interest.
Right.
It keeps me on my path. It keeps me in divine flow. And to me, that also means you don't have to figure it out. It's in your own best interest. And just let spirit guide you through it.
And
if there's something that needs to be corrected, because I'll go into that. Okay, well, I don't want to be wrong, but I'll try to be loving.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to still try to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
So you don't even have to figure it out.
Right.
It's in your own best interest.
That's
well, right there.
Well, if you say it's in your own best interest, you have figured it out correctly. So there's no reason to go past that statement. You know, because what does figuring it out means? I'm trying to interpret what it means. Right? That's what figuring it out means.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, if it means this is happening for my own best interest, that is the meaning of it, then there's nothing to interpret because now you have the meaning. So what I realized was that everything I asked, this book answers. Like, there's never been anything that's come up that wasn't addressed somewhere in this book if you read it. It's somewhere in this book, it's talking about that attitude. So the truth is, I got the meaning, I got the answer. But he says we only are really receptive to answers we make up. So if I give you an answer that you didn't make up, he says, then to your mind what I'm saying is irrelevant. And he kept saying it. He says I'm gonna give you answers, but they're gonna seem irrelevant because they're not the answers you made up. Like, it's hard for you to believe that you can't pay your bills in your perception because you have a grievance you haven't let go of. You see what I'm saying? It's like, I can't pay my bills because they didn't give me the raise on the job, and if I can get them to give me the raise. See what I'm saying? We don't see the answer as relevant. I create my own reality, so this is a result of my own consciousness. I need to change my own consciousness is the answer to my relationship problem. It doesn't seem to be the answer if it looks like my partner is being verbally abusive to me. It seems like it's their problem and I'm a victim of what they're doing. I don't realize that it was my consciousness that created that person to begin with, that drew that person to me to begin with, especially if I find myself addicted to the situation and I can't choose out of it. That's one of the best ways to know, really, to get in touch with that's the fact that that's your creation, is because you feel like you're compelled to stay in it. And the reason why is because subconsciously you're totally identifying with whatever you're receiving from that person as being something that you deserve or something that you asked for, even if it's not conscious. So I started to realize that what my physical reality is really a reflection of is my subconscious mind. That what I'm looking at in my physical reality is really my secret, the Course calls them, it's in subconscious mind, the Course calls them secret thoughts. And I think that's great, you know, thoughts that you have that are hidden from you. Thoughts that you have that you're even keeping a secret. I'm keeping a secret how I feel about me. Okay? I'm hiding how I really feel about me. But my physical reality is reflecting how I really feel about me back to me. So it's like it's really not hidden, but my ego mind says that's something external to you that you have nothing to do with. And that keeps the cycle going. So there are just basically two kinds of people in the world, those who see themselves as victimized and those who see themselves as responsible. Those are basically the only two, and we go back and forth between the two ourselves, depending on what the situation is that we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like a lot of times I bring up the presidential election, because I like to always relate things to the physical experience I'm having. There are a lot of people that really believe that whoever is the president is going to determine how happy they are. I mean, they really believe that. They really believe that if this person is elected, it's going to make my life better. And I'm not saying don't get involved with the political process if that's what your Holy Spirit tells you to do. Okay? But you know, if you're a conscious being, you know that's not true. You know that no matter who's elected, in the end, it's going to be my own internal frame of reference. It's going to be my dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions that determine how I feel, period. Some people were completely, you know, elated that Barack Obama got the nomination. Some people, they hate that to the bottom of their heart. Same guy. But how the person feels is based on what they decide to see in him, right? Mm-hmm. And then they project on him whatever it is they've decided to see in him. And that's what we do with everything and everybody, is that, you know, it's like when somebody likes you, like you meet somebody, you know they're attracted to you. Almost, it doesn't really matter too much what you say. If they like you and they're attracted to you, they're going to treat you really good, and they're going to want to get next to you. You could almost say anything, unless you're just ridiculous. You're pretty much going to get a free pass, especially if you don't talk too much. And you ask a lot of questions.
Right.
That's all you got to do. Just listen and ask questions. Because most people are trying to be interesting. They're not trying to be interested. Mm-hmm. So that always impresses anybody anyway when you go, what do you think? How do you feel? What's going on with you? Because the average person, when they meet somebody, they're trying to get that person to like them. So they do all the talking. And they're trying to get you to like them. And so anyway, it's the whole thing. The whole relationship thing is simpler than what we think it is. All of it is. That's what I'm discovering as I wake up more, is that I've just done an incredible job of complicating everything. Just phenomenal. Don't you see that as you study and wake up more, how much you were the one that made the decisions that complicated your life at a ridiculous level?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more so than, you know, sometimes it seems like external things happen. But if you were really to be honest, it's really the way what you're telling yourself all the time and the decisions you're making that's making it. Yeah.
I just, to simplify for me, it's just like about being right.
Mm-hmm.
That I have to be right to feel secure in myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, that's right. But and it's like, who cares if it's right? I mean, it's like,
being right, that's why he says, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Yeah. It was one of the questions right. That the Course asks. And so when I tell people, I hope that I'm, that it shocks people when I say something and then I was actually wrong and they give me the correct perception and I said, well, I hope I'm wrong. Thank you. I don't want to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like if it's going to be better for me to be wrong about it,
yeah.
then I'm glad. And so it kind of freaks them out because being right is so important to the average adult that when you don't defend when a person is trying, you go, okay, like I said something crappy about myself, and then they go, and that's a legitimate feeling, which people think it's not okay somehow to express your legitimate feelings. That's always funny to me. It's like they pounce on you, but all you're doing is saying how you feel in the moment. Well, you shouldn't feel that way, blah, 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 you know, but that's how I feel in the moment. And so you ask me how I feel in the moment. This is how I feel in the moment. Doesn't mean that's how I always feel. It doesn't even mean that I necessarily believe that's the truth about me, but you ask me how I feel, right? And then they say, well, you know, you're a really nice guy, da, 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 da. And then I go, okay, thank you. You know, what you expect me to do, argue with you about that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want that to be right. Even if I don't feel good about myself, I want to side with what you're saying about me. Because it used to irritate me when people would correct me. And then I realized, well, that's just human nature. People are going to do that because you're making them aware of the same thing in themselves. And so they're reacting because they do the same thing. That's why they're pouncing on you so fast. Because they're trying to hide how they feel from themselves. So if you say, in other words, if I say I feel the way you do too, but you're hiding it from yourself, then it's going to make you have to correct me as soon as you hear me say it. So if I say life sucks and you're trying to pretend you're positive, but you feel like life sucks too, then you're going to jump on me and you're going to say, well, you shouldn't say that. That's going to create it. That's going to manifest it, blah, 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 blah. But the reason why that generated that reaction was because I made you aware of something you were already feeling inside yourself, but you were trying to hide it from yourself. Because if you didn't feel that way, you could let me say whatever it was I needed to say and just let me be there and not feeling the need to correct me. So that explains why God is silent. Because that would mean that God is doing the same thing to me. So if I'm saying something is not true and the higher power is there, then the higher power is not going to tell me I'm wrong. It knows the truth about me. So it's going to go ahead and just let me express my feeling. And so that explains to me why God is silent, why higher powers. It's actually silent in order to not give our illusion reality. And so that made a lot of sense.
That's big.
You
see,
you
say that again?
Yeah. It's like if I make it real by acting like it's real, then I'm joining with the suffering and I'm making it real for both of us. If I know it's not true, but that's just something you need to say, and I realize that is just your ego expressing itself, then there's no need for me to correct you because I know it's not true. And so why would I even engage you about that issue? I don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? You could say I'm a kangaroo. I know you're not a kangaroo, so I'm not going to say, you're not a kangaroo, you're not a kangaroo, you're not a kangaroo. Not if I'm conscious. I know that you realize you're not a kangaroo because you're not a kangaroo. So that truth is going to be revealed to you, you know. So the more conscious you become, the more silent you become, and the less you correct people. Mm-hmm. The more unconscious you are, the more you feel like you have to fix everything and every bad, because you don't have any trust. You don't have any trust in the Holy Spirit in the person, and you don't have any trust in God. So you think it's up to you to fix everything, or else it won't get fixed. So all of a sudden, as I read this, stuff that used to be so mysterious to me makes sense. Like, if there really is a God, why doesn't God just come down and correct everything? Well, that would make everything that we're doing real. Think about it. It would be like giving reality to every one of the illusions we had if God treated you like you had a problem, you really would have a problem. Yeah, if God was going, if the infinite intelligence of the universe saw me as really messed up, I'd really be messed up. So spirit is not seeing us the way we see ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is the part of spirit that's aware of how you see yourself, but also aware that you're not the way you see yourself. Mm-hmm. And the Course calls that the Holy Spirit. That's what we can call on. So I'm just checking in. This is making sense to everybody. This is with everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. You had your hand up a minute ago, Aaron.
I think it's getting answered more, but what you're saying about secret sins and hidden hates,
mm-hmm.
those are what we're hiding just from ourselves.
Right.
We're not being honest about how I'm really feeling in this moment,
mm-hmm.
or that I have a grievance, right? I'm blinded from that. So that's what that means, right? It's just hiding it from myself.
Yeah, and then he says in the, I think it's this the lesson is called My Attack Thoughts Are Attacking My Invulnerability, which I think is a really powerful lesson. We might go through that one day. But if you get a chance, read it.
Okay.
that lesson. It says my attack thoughts. And that's it, my attack thoughts. And the average, you know, the average person is nicey-nicey, right? So they're going to say, well, I don't have any attack thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The average person, I don't want to attack anybody. You know, you meet very few people that won't just say, tell you they want to hurt people. At least I haven't met many people that say that. Almost everybody says that they're nice and they're on the lookout for somebody hurting them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the Course says that the thought of being attacked was just as much an attack thought as a thought of attacking somebody. And I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Then it explained to me why the nice little old lady got mugged. Or the, but I mean, like all these nice people. Because if you talk to the average nice person, they'll say they don't want to attack anybody, but ask them if they believe there's a possibility of them being attacked.
Uh-huh.
And almost uniformly, every one of them will say, yes, that's why I got my pit bull.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, because I'm afraid I'll be attacked. You know, so the Course says that thought of being attacked is still what? An attack thought. It's still a thought of attack. And I went, whoa. Then all of a sudden, again, a little simple statement like that made total sense of so many things that had happened to me in my life. And that's how this book is. It'll say, you read it, and you'll say you don't understand it. And then all of a sudden, you'll come across one little sentence, and it'll go, If you're studying it, you know what I'm talking about. It'd be blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa. And it's worth all of that part I didn't mm-hmm. understand. Not only that, it'll make the part I didn't understand make more sense to me somehow. Yeah.
I was at a party in town with a friend of mine. He said this, he's like a computer analyst, and he's like, you know, he gets good jobs, but then stuff happens to the economy and they let him go and stuff. And that's just... So he got released from a job in January, and he had been handpicked with a team of mm-hmm. about four people
mm-hmm.
Back in October. And here's January, no job. But what he saw was this young guy that got hired the same week he was going nuts. He said, how could they do this? You know, we were selected from all the people that applied, da, da, da. And my friend said, you know, that's how I handled the first two times it happened to me. But he'd come off and on to see you at night on Thursdays. And what he said was, he says, well, how you handle it? And he goes, well, rejection is protection and redirection.
All right, man.
See, so he had, right in his office, he had a guy who was a mirror of how he used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got himself doing it this new way, but he has this model of the old way.
Always.
And see, it was
cool.
Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave him a hug. I mean, all I did was listen.
Yeah.
I stayed silent.
Yeah.
And he came up with this deal because I had heard he lost his job.
Yeah.
So part of me was, well, you know, kid gloves or something. Well, and all I did was keep up my shit and say, you know, how's it going? And he tells me the story.
Uh-huh.
He said, I looked at this young guy. We got hired the same week. And, you know, my friend's been in this business, you know. This is his career. So the first time he reacted that way.
Yeah.
And now this time, because he's done some of the work in the
course,
he goes, rejection is protection, right?
And think about that. You think about how much programming we get to the opposite. That and he could take one little statement versus thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts of programming you
right.
get all your life to the opposite. And you use one little statement of truth and it can change your whole perception. To me, that's such a powerful indication of how powerful the truth is. That even though, you know, 168, 167 out of 168 hours a week, I'm hearing crap. You know, if I turn on the TV, I'm hearing stuff that's not true. I'm reading the paper, I'm hearing stuff that's not true. If I'm listening to the average part of me talk, this part of me talk, it's saying stuff that doesn't reflect the truth. Then I can take one little statement that I kind of focus on, maybe, sometimes, and I watch the situation shift. And what amazes me is, why don't I use the truth more consistently? Why would something that works that powerfully not be something I would use consistently? That's what I used to ask myself, especially when you see it work. You know, that was a trip. When I would see it work and then watch myself still try to do the old way, that would really let me know I was insane. Because I would see it work and stop.
That's right.
Yeah, stop. See it work and actually stop.
Well, the next sentence was, he was out of work for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He got another job.
Mm-hmm.
And the next sentence was, it's less money, but a hell of a lot less stress, which is what I really wanted.
Because he said
right there, in one sense.
Yeah, because he said it, because I'm sure he said he wanted a raise. He just didn't realize on the spiritual level, a raise is a raise in consciousness, a raise in peace. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm an awakening being. When I say I want a raise, I'm talking about I want more peace in my life. And that's worth more than money.
That is right.
That's worth a lot more than money. And once he has the peace, the money will come anyway.
It's now like, he's giving his daughter golf lessons. Mm-hmm. See? And I look at him and he's happy.
Heaven forbid. How did he mess around and do that? Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
There's something that mixes me up, but I think I hear you say.
Okay, cool. I love it when people ask questions.
Oh, man. Anyway, you talk about the thoughts that we have in our mind coming out and kind of creating our reality.
Yeah, creating our perception of our reality.
Okay. But you said it's not like the old style woo-woo think about something and you're going to materialize all this.
Oh, and you can.
I'm going to go home and write affirmations. And I'm 5'8" and blonde. And then,
It's like you can do that. You can do, well, you know, you can be 5'8" and blonde in another reality. But the course, now we're talking about the course. Okay. So when you're talking about the course, you're talking about a teaching whose goal is peace of mind. And that's what I think that many times is forgotten with the course. That that it's saying if you want to have peace of mind comes from how you think. Mm-hmm. Right? Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, which isn't the same as saying I want to manifest a car.
Right.
That's a different thing.
Right.
Okay. You can manifest a car. You can attract. You can't, all those things. Mm-hmm. You can do all of those things. But the course's premise is you're going to either use that manifestation to give you peace, or you're going to use that manifestation to give you more fear and conflict. Mm-hmm. So it sees your state of mind as being more important than whatever it is you think you physically want. Okay. So if you want to manifest a house, in my perception, that's perfectly okay to focus on that. Mm-hmm. But your state of mind is going to determine how much you enjoy that house. Or whether or not you'll lose your peace if you don't manifest the house. See, that's the thing. So when I hear people set up a fantasy and then they want that fantasy, I know that from studying this that if that fantasy doesn't happen, they usually attack themselves for it. They'll either feel bad about it, or they put themselves down about it, or they blame someone else for it not having, and they don't realize what they've done is they've tried to satisfy themselves. The course says it this way: a fantasy is an attempt to satisfy yourself according to false needs. And I thought that was a beautiful definition of a fantasy. In other words, I'm not going to be happy until you give me a kiss. Okay. Your kissing me or not has nothing to do with my real needs or my existence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I made that fantasy up. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to satisfy myself based on the false need that I made up. And that's what people do. I got to live a certain place. I got to have a certain kind of a body. I got to live in a certain part of the country. If I don't live in the mountains, I can't feel good. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't need to live in the mountains to exist.
Well, it's just ego feeding.
Yes. It's a fantasy. It's like I'm coming up with fantasies, and then I live my life trying to act out my fantasies. And not only that, I try to manipulate everything and everybody to help me get my fantasy. So as soon as I walk in a room, then if I'm a guy and I think I need to get laid tonight, okay, then when I walk into a room full of women, if that's my goal, then it's about how can I get that fantasy acted out tonight, and I'm going to say whatever is necessary to you to see if I can get that fantasy acted out, but I won't die if we don't do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's really not a real need. It has nothing to do really with my real existence. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's how the course, and then it says, so in a sense, and this was really deep when I saw it, in a sense then, now what's really weird, you could walk into that room, tell the Holy Spirit to decide for you. You could say, I want to make love tonight. And you could walk in that room and you could say, Holy Spirit, decide for me. And if that is in divine order for that to happen, you will naturally meet someone who wants that, just like you want that, and you wouldn't even have to manipulate them into that situation. So you can feel totally innocent, you know, because Spirit knows who could, spirit could use any desire I have as a way to wake me up. So it's not about that's a sinful desire. If I went in there and that was what I wanted to experience, then if I put God in charge and say, you decide for me, then if there was a way for me to have that experience in such a way that would be beneficial to me and the other person, then it would happen. But if I'm a conscious being, I also know if it didn't happen,
it's in my own best interest.
It's in my own best interest. It's like, she's a black widow. She likes to kill the men that she has sex with. So, yeah, it's like, you get it, but just like the praying mantis, you know, it's like, you know, so, but you don't know that, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. I'm beginning to have a lot more peace because I realize I don't perceive my own best interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, dare I say, I think I get that. That idea of what you just said is so hopeful for me. You know, that's God saying, I know you want all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I know it's best for you in your state of mind. I know you want that stuff, mm-hmm. and it can make you happy,
mm-hmm.
but your state of mind is more important to me than the stuff.
There you go. That's
and
it.
Just
that's
recently,
it. Yeah, that's it. That's
like,
it.
In some ways, I've reached goals, and so I have sort of that physical satisfaction.
Yeah.
But then just recently,
yeah,
I didn't get a whole bunch of things I wanted
uh-huh.
that I've wanted for a long time.
Yeah.
And almost, you know, obsessing, mm-hmm. like wanting, and I got to get this, and how do I make it happen?
Mm-hmm.
And none of it happened. This just happened. And all of a sudden, I realized my consciousness, my existence. I'm still here.
Uh-huh.
I'm whole and complete.
Yes.
Nothing is missing. Nothing
yes.
is broken.
Yes.
Like, I would have never said that. And I've heard you, you know, I've heard it a million
times. That's right. That's
You're
right.
trying to tell me that I don't need that stuff. And, like, I had never really believed you, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, it just happened. We're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the world is still there. It didn't disappear.
Right.
You know, I didn't get what I want. And I'm still me. No one would never have noticed any difference.
But that's a major breakthrough.
I'm happy in the nothingness.
That's a major breakthrough. You know why? Because he says, we were talking about Saturday, if you see one thing correctly, you'll see everything correctly, right? So if you really truly see that correctly, your mind would naturally apply that to everything in your life. You know, it would go, oh, then that means it's okay that this relationship isn't happening, and that's okay that I didn't get that job, and that's okay. It's like, once you see it correctly in one situation, you'll see it. Now, you have to do it with the smaller things before you get to the point that you can see thousands of people in China seeming to die in an earthquake. Because you get to the point, I promise you, in your consciousness, you'll say that was for their own best interest. But that's maybe way in the future. Because you would have to believe in an afterlife. You'd have to believe that the person couldn't be destroyed. You'd have to believe that there's only a divine purpose in everything. In other words, you couldn't get that state of consciousness from the ego state of consciousness, which is all about, I'm a body, I'm separate, I die. You see what I'm saying? So that's what he says. There's a whole, why he says the holy instant is when you go to another state of mind, because it's at another state of mind that you could look at it like, none of those people died because they're unlimited spiritual beings. And for whatever reason, their soul chose that moment. They were going to leave anyway. It was time for them to leave. Some souls leave in such a way that it leaves a message behind as they go. Like, if my soul chooses to go to the next level, but we need to know that there's a defect in this kind of aircraft, then I'm going to go. But I'm going to go in such a way that people will become aware that this aircraft needs to have the motor. There's a boat in the motor that needs to be fixed. So from our perspective, they died because the plane was defective. No, they left because it was time for them to go.
Right.
But in that process, they made us aware of something that those of us still here needed to be aware of. Since we believe that external things like that can, does it make sense what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that again, I don't know what that person, I don't know it's for that it was really for that person's best interest to continue to live in the physical body. That's just my personal desire because I'm so attached to my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so therefore I make all physical transitions terrible because I'm so attached to the body. But suppose when you so-called died, let's just pretend for a minute, that wherever you went through next was the most incredibly wonderful, beautiful, satisfying, it makes the best thing in this world seem pale by comparison, you would probably go, I'm glad I died. Okay, so all of a sudden death wasn't a loss. But if you think you are a body in a separate world that has been taught you have just a certain number of days and years to live, and this is everything, the idea of leaving your body is the most frightening thought that you could possibly
have.
That's
how you react all through your life.
So all through, that's what we do. Somebody, that person died. And so people don't realize that when they're looked at correctly, when they're watching the news or reading a newspaper and they're seeing all these tragedies, they're really getting an opportunity to learn how to re-perceive things. But the average person doesn't realize that. They go, so what happens if I look at the 5:30 news, which I do? I watch all of it. I go through periods that I don't watch any of it, months and years. And then I go through these periods where I look at everything. And it's fascinating. It's like instead of like you're about to, like how can you look at the news? And like to me it's like it's fascinating. It's like wow, because it's like somebody acting out the ego for me, almost like a play. It's like this is what it's saying in the book, but I'm gonna give you a chance to watch it in high definition. You know, and that's what it'll look like. It'll look like you're watching when you really know what this is saying. It'll look like, and you see it in your friends and your relatives. You see them acting out what the course is saying, just like a play. And you'll even assign that role to some people. I remember when I was married and I first got in the course, and I was really into projecting because I didn't know any better, but even though I was reading the course. But it looked like my spouse was doing everything the course said the ego does. I mean, just, it was like, it was almost eerie. It's like every single thing that it said the ego would do, it looked like that's what she was doing. And you see that because you don't realize that's your ego. that your ego is like that, but you're projecting it out on the other person, and you don't realize that's the way your ego operates too. And so she was giving me an opportunity really to see how my own ego operated, but I didn't realize it because I was busy projecting on her that I was different. See, that was the whole premise. I'm different. I'm getting this. Why can't you get this? You know what I'm saying? And I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
You poor thing. So, you know. But then I wasn't treating her the way I was treating everybody else, and because I was seeing her as different. So everybody else was getting the spiritual Earl. She was getting ego Earl, and so therefore I would see the ego come back at me and her, and then wonder, well, why am I not getting the same vibe back from her that I was getting from the people who come to my classes and all that other stuff? And it hit me. I wasn't answering her calls for love. I wasn't seeing what she was doing as innocent. I was just trying to correct her. She was like my correction project out of the goodness of my heart.
You know,
yeah, she was my correction. She was my CP.
Project.
She was my correction project and not my mirror. Not, you know, and so when you wake up, all those people you think you need to forgive in your own heart, what you end up doing is going, will you forgive me? Because you realize you created that. They didn't do anything to you. That's all the part I played in that relationship not lasting. You see what I mean? So that's how I was, you know, how I was not very nice. So I realized that actually she was very patient and loving, considering the fact of how much I was in my ego, and she stayed with me. But you don't know that, especially when you get a spiritual ego. Because when you get a spiritual ego, you know all the lingo. See, so your ego can fool you even better, because you know all the lingo, and so you don't realize you're not really as cool as you think you are. Because you can, you know, you apply it to yourself, and you certainly apply it to the people that you're not in a special relationship with, because they don't have to deal with you all the time. So of course, with your friends and your classmates, and you know, you can practice the course, because you don't have, it's the people you have the deepest special relationships with that's the hardest to practice the truth.
They're your best teachers.
That's what makes them your best teacher, because they really get you in touch with what you really believe about yourself that you're in denial about. And if that person is totally opposite from you, it's really hard to get that that's your own subconscious mind. Because they look like they just, oh, you can't tell me I got any kind of qualities of that my sister had. What you mean? You know, so it's like, no. You know why? Why? Because you're the one that's interpreting your sister, right? Yeah. So how could you interpret that she's selfish if you didn't have a thought of selfishness in your mind? Because it's your interpretation of her. So to even interpret it as selfish, wouldn't you have to know what selfish is? Wouldn't you have to have a selfish thought? And you're like, oh, whoa. So he says that the advantage of pointing out somebody else's ego would only really be really helpful if you realized it was letting you know what you needed to correct in your own mind. So if I'm gonna judge all of you, and I can't help but judge y'all, right? So I'm gonna judge you, right? Okay, but I don't want to be limited by that judgment, right? How do I do that? I go, well, I can't see your ego except through my ego. So the quality I'm seeing in your mind is a quality that's in my mind. Notice I didn't say in me. I said it's in my mind. Okay. So what do I do? Well, the ego says, well, you try to fix yourself. And you try to, you know, fix them. Like, if you get spiritual, your ego say, well, okay, it's not them, right? Because I'm spiritual now. So what I'm seeing in them is in me, right? And so I'm going to fix that. Right? And the Course is saying, no, what you would really do, you would give that person's problem or issue to the Holy Spirit, and you to do the same with you. You wouldn't try to fix you. You would go, I give this to the Holy Spirit. Give me another way to look at it. In other words, I wouldn't see myself as the source of the healing. And that's how we make the mistake. We still make ourselves the fixer. Okay, I see what I see in you is in me, but I still gotta fix it. And the more, and you'll find that it's like one of those Chinese traps where the more you struggle, the tighter it binds you. That's the way your ego is. It's like the more you're going to figure it out and you're going to do it yourself and you're going to make it happen, the worse it gets. Because the whole lesson is for you to friggin' let go. Learn how to be open to something greater than yourself. That you're not the one in control of the situation. So every time you go, I'm going to, it's like, it gets worse. Because you said, I want to know the truth. That's the mistake you make. See, that's the mistake people make. See, saying I want to manifest a car,
that's easy.
It's not the same as saying I want to wake up to the truth. That's two different things. Mm-hmm. See, people go, I want to manifest. Okay, you can manifest a car and have a totally incorrect mind. Because that's just a physical thing. But if you say I want to know the truth, you're saying I want to know that I'm not a body, that I am innocent, that I'm the creator of my reality, that I'm not a victim of what I see, there's nothing outside of me that's making me unhappy. Okay, so you're really saying that you want to see the real deal, right? So that means your whole old program won't work anymore. And you'd go crazy because you'd be wondering why all the stuff you used to try doesn't seem to work at all. Well, you said you wanted to know the truth. See, the old way, you were having a belief, and then the way perception works is that you see what you believe. Mm-hmm. So when you would go, well, I got to go fix this, and you believed you could fix it, then you would go through the illusion of looking like you solved the problem, except for one little quality. It would come back. Yeah. So when we fix something, it's always temporary. That's how you can always tell one of our fixes. So I tried to fix it. I looked like I worked it out temporarily. So I'm convinced that somehow or another I can fix things. The Course says, no, okay, but then you turn around and you say, well, I want to know the truth. Oh, you do? But the truth is you can't fix anything. Only God can. Your higher self can. So every time you try to fix something now, for the sake of your awakening, it never worked. Why? To eventually force you to get that you got to turn to something greater than yourself. And then that's why when people get into stuff like this, they get frustrated because their old ego way is going to work with this thought system. And it doesn't. Thank God. Thank God. So at first your ego's freaking. I'm trying. Don't say like nothing I do work. Nothing I do. Yeah, would you say in the key word, nothing you do. You still trying to do it. I don't know my own best interests. I don't know yours either. I don't know what's best for you. That's relaxing to me, and it's honest. Actually, don't you? I feel like I'm being more honest when I say I don't know what's best for you. So let's go to the next. Oh shit! It's 5 minutes to one.
Whoa. So Earl, you call this time we share together a holy instant?
Yeah, because what happens is we go into this other state of mind where the answer is, right? And you know that's what happens because as soon as we walk out of the door, we forget most of what we've heard. Right? Isn't that proof enough? The fact that we forget is how we know we've gone back to the other state of mind.
But I feel better.
Oh, but here's the other, here's the big deal, though. You take it with you. You didn't lose it. He says you didn't lose, how did he put it? He says when you think you've forgotten something, it just means you're not focused on it. So forget just means, you know, the glass is here, right? It's just like us focusing on the glass, right? But as soon as we leave, we focus on this. Glass still there, but we're no longer focusing on. Now we're back into the worldly mind. I'm a victim. It's being done to me. How can I fix that? What are you saying that clever? But then since you've been put in the, and then here's another glass, and next time you come to class, here's another glass. So you're building up the quantity, right? So he says at some point, you have a sufficient quantitative change, lots of truth you're remembering. He says then that produces a real qualitative shift. It's like a scale is the best analogy that makes it make sense to me. How a scale works, you know, it's like you keep putting something over here and then sooner or later it goes bloop. Right. Okay, that's what you do. Every time you come in here, you're putting something else in there. And one day you could be a king super and you might think your workbook lesson. And that was the day you tipped it. And so all of a sudden now your whole perception of everything, instead of being ego, is the way the core sees it. And it's the ego part that doesn't make any sense to you. And that's the part that used to always make sense. But so every time you come to these things and it looks like nothing's happened, think of that analogy. If, you know, you dropped another little nugget in your scale and it's going to tip one day.
Which is so what she said over here. She said it.
That's what happened to you.
And it's so clear on my mind. Yeah.
She said it that she heard you say it a million times.
Right. Bloop, 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 bloop.
That's why it's got to be repeated.
Right. Yeah. And when you when you're really upset, and Eckhart brought this home, and the Course does it, but he did it so beautifully. I'm telling you, when you slip into your ego, when you slip into your pain body, when you slip into your fear, you're not home anymore. You're not there. And so that's why no matter what somebody said to you, you don't feel better in that moment. All of that, because you aren't present anymore. It's just the part of you that's afraid that's present. And so it's not going to hear anything that makes it feel better. But still, your real self is there, too. And same thing is happening. Yeah. Your real self is getting the information, but the part that's upset, which is the you that's identifying with the upset, it'll go, oh, I don't necessarily feel better. It don't seem like it's working. Well, of course not. Your ego doesn't want any of it to work. The last thing your ego wants you to think is that it would work. But that's not your whole self. You know, you got an invisible self that's also, just always look at it like it's two of you in the class, or it's two of you reading the book, or it's two of you going to the workshop, or it's two of you in the relationship. And then all of a sudden, all this will start to make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And then you are either identifying with one of the yous or the other one.
That's right.
Right? And so when we're sitting here, we're in the same you. Oh, yes. It's my internal frame of reference. Just determining how I'm feeling about this. It's my interpretation of this that's making me upset. Oh, uh-huh. I get it. I don't perceive my own best interest in this. You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Yeah. And then as soon as you go out, then you become the other one. What the hell was that? That don't make any sense. That doesn't work. You see what I'm saying? That's the other one. And so you are not that one. That's what the Course is trying to get us to see. You're not your story. You're the one who's experiencing your story. But you're not your story. And so the closer you get to the truth, the old self tries to make you think you're your story. So it's not unusual when a person is making breakthrough that they create drama to try to stop themselves. Mm-hmm. So looked at correctly, when you're going through the periods of greatest stress, looked at correctly, it's actually the proof that you're close to breakthrough.
Yeah. Mm. I've got a friend, a minister in Boulder, who in doing the course, he said the change for him was when he realized he was doing more preferences versus emotion-packed demands, that the ego always made these heavy duty.
Thank you for sharing. I'll pass this around while you're talking.
That's right on.
Yeah.
You can have preferences. As you grow in the course, you get so you have preferences. But the ego you, life used to lead is based on emotion-packed demands.
Right.
This is how it's going to fucking be.
And if it's not, then I'm going to attack you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to attack. I'm going to say stuff like, you're not supporting me. You're not there for me. You know.
Don't really listen.
Yeah.
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 This is heavy today.
Yeah. And so we got it today. We got the whole journey today. That paragraph is the whole journey. And then it would be great to like type that out or write it out or listen to it. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. That paragraph is the Alpha and Omega. That one paragraph is the whole journey. It's the preface. It's XI. Yeah. And that's how I'll complete. I'll read that one more time. It takes about a minute. The world, and I'll make it more personal. The world you're looking at right now, the world that you are experiencing right now, is reflecting your own internal frame of reference. What you are seeing right now in this situation is your own dominant thoughts, wishes, and emotions in your mind. Your projection is making your perception, I put it, in this situation. So you can apply it to anything. What you're doing is you looked inside your mind first, you decided the kind of world or situation you wanted to see, and then you projected that situation outside and you're now making it the truth as you see it. If or when, whenever you see if, you can substitute the word when and it'll be the same power. If or when you are using perception to justify your ego, to justify your mistakes, then your anger, your impulses to attack, your lack of love, in whatever form it takes, is going to cause you to see a world of evil, destruction, malice, envy, and you'll feel despair. You got to learn how to forgive this. Not because you're trying to be good. No longer try to forgive because you're trying to be good. No longer try to forgive because you're trying to be charitable. You want to forgive it because what you are seeing in this situation that's upsetting you isn't true. You have distorted your world by your twisted defenses, and so you're just seeing what's not really there right now. So you have to learn to recognize your perceptual errors. You are learning to look past your perceptual errors, which means to forgive them. At the same time, you're forgiving yourself because you're also learning that if that applies to somebody else, then your perceptual errors also applies to you. You're looking past your distorted self-concepts to the self that God created in you and as you. That's forgiveness. Looking past the distorted ideas I have to the way I really am, as God created me, which is love. That's it. And so all the workbook lessons, everything you're studying in the book, is to give you the new interpretations that you're supposed to use to substitute for the ones that are upset you. That's why reading the course is important, because if you know that what I just said today is true, but you still are going to your own mind to try to come up with ways to look at it, you're going to frustrate yourself. That's why it's good to have some ammunition on hand to help you with that. And then after a while, it'll become automatic, and your mind will automatically do that without you having to stop to think of what's the right thing for me to think right now. You get to the point that your mind will just automatically, well, I want another way to look at this. I hope I'm wrong. I don't like the way I feel right now. I don't want to be right about this. And you find yourself just doing it without going, what does the course say? But in the beginning, you'll do that. What does the course say? And then you tell yourself. After a while, your mind will take over, like it's programmed with anything, and just poof. It'll just say what you said earlier. It'll go, wait a minute, I'm okay. Even if that thing didn't happen, that doesn't have anything to do with my who I really am. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So tomorrow night, to next class.